But before that, I was out making good money, running jobs all over, you know, and making good money, and there seemed to be quite a bit of work around. I wasn't suffering. So I figured, well, nothing to pay that $1,500 off, you know, what I mortgaged the house for. But I found out differently. I found out that there was just no money around. I just couldn't get a job. I remember one time, story goes at, down at the Mohawk Mill, for instance, during the Depression. There was a fellow who went down there every day looking for a job. Every day, he was down there looking for a job. And every time the foreman would say, no, there's no work. So one day, one fellow fell in the river and got drowned. So this guy rushed up to the foreman and he says, how about a job today? He says, no, there's no job today. Well, he said, how about that fellow got drowned? Oh, no, he said, the fellow that pushed him in got the job. Well, that's just about the way it was. There just wasn't any work. There was no money. There was a whole block in Burnaby here, and many places they didn't have 50 cents in the house. Blocks like that, old blocks, six blocks. No, just no money. And all everybody on relief, practically. And not everybody in Burnaby, but in certain sections.
Yeah, that's what were the areas that were hardest hit?
Oh, it was spotty here and there around. I couldn't say definitely. The flats down there, there were a lot of them down in the flats. And
the river flats.
In East Burnaby here, there were most of them were unemployed, and then most of them were on relief. And some and North Burnaby around Capitol Hill, a terrific amount up there. And quite a lot in Central Burnaby. And it was spotty. You might find two or three in some blocks that were working, and the balance all unemployed and on relief. Naturally, if they're unemployed, they have to be on relief when they start to death. So that was the situation.
How did you get involved in organizing the unemployed?
Well, just about the time that the Depression hit, I was involved with the Socialist Party of Canada. Just about that time, I became involved with Ernie Wings, and Ernie and I were the best of friends. What a wonderful man. And when I was in the Socialist Party of Canada, or the Independent Labour Party, as it were, before that, I also became active in the Workers' Unity League, which was sponsoring the Unemployed Workers Association, which was the Workers Unity League was a branch of the Communist Party, the one of their subsidiaries, you know. So from the Communist Party to the Workers Unity League, right down to the unemployed workers, it was all a communist movement. Mainly, I don't say they're all communists. No, no, but it was sponsored by the communist elements in Canada, and. So I became active to a small degree in the Unemployed Workers Association down here in Burnaby. And I used to take some of their literature into the Socialist Party meetings. And they told me that I wasn't allowed to take any literature except literature pertaining to the Socialist Party of Canada, which was the challenge by Lyle Telford. He was the editor, Dr. Lyle Telford, in Vancouver, and other organs that they had, but was not allowed to take any communist literature of any kind into a socialist meeting. I said, what's the difference? It is all a part of the working class movement, and I take the challenge into our meetings, and the unemployed, and they don't bawl me out about that, they don't object to that. I said, I can't see it. I said, I think this is narrow sectarianism. And this is the way it is. I said, okay, I'm through. I'm finished. I'm going into the Communist Party. And that's what I did. And I became very, very active in the unemployed movement. And I became delegate to the Central Council, which is Vancouver, mentioned there, and North Burnaby, and I want to tell you another thing. We didn't have the money to pay car fare from here to Vancouver when we walked. That was how bad it was. And in the rain or the snow, we walked. It took us till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to get home. That's how we got there. That's how bad it was. There was just no money, and the Unemployed Workers Association to finance it. Where a trip to Vancouver as a delegate to Vancouver to represent East Burnaby. So that's the way it was.
Can you explain how it was organized locally?
It was a few activists in the Communist Party or in the Workers' Unity League started to get amongst the unemployed here and point out that they should have an organization. That they're going to survive, they must have an organization to combat this. That individually, they're nothing. So as a result of that, they started holding meetings, and they grew and grew and grew until we had a terrific organization here. Like when we went up to the municipal hall here one time, there was the in a protest meeting or demonstration, you call it. There was a lineup right from the municipal hall down here, right over Douglas Road, on unemployed. That's how big it was. And you had no idea how immense it became. Terrifically immense. And that was not single, that was two abreast. And we met Reed Pritchard and put our cards on the table, and Reed Pritchard was sympathetic because he was a socialist too. But he says, "Gentlemen," he says, "what can I do? My hands are tied. I can't do anything." He says, "I can't go to Victoria or Ottawa and get aid." He says, "they just won't give it to me, and I just have to accept what they give us." And he says, "I have sent protests myself to them, pointing out the urgency, the need for something to be done." And he said, "they ignore it. What can I do?" And so it's quite peaceful. We were not rough or anything. We didn't do any damage. We didn't break up anything. And because that was what we set out to do. We wanted to be peaceful. We didn't want to create a riot or anything like that. And the riots, incidentally, that were caused, that developed in Vancouver, were caused not by the workers, but by the status quo, the people in power, the establishment, if you want to put it that way. And it wasn't the workers who started it. I was there, I know. And the workers, the police started to ride down the demonstrators and their horses and knock them over and everything. And then, of course, you know what happened after that. They started to fight back. And that was the issue. And quite contrary to the concepts of people or what they have taught to believe through the press, or as a part of the establishment, that the communists and socialists were out for violence. They are not out for violence. No. The socialists and communists have never been out for violence, advocating violence. But they say that when their backs to the wall, what are they going to do? They have to do the best they can, so they fight. You know, when they put them in their backs to the wall. But I know I was in the communist movement for a long time, and I was in the unemployed movement. And when we went out on a demonstration, that was what we told them. "Now, boys, don't start any rough stuff. We don't want to see that. We want to pressurize them, and they have so that they have no excuse, you know, as far as violence is concerned." And so that was the way it was in Vancouver too, when they had the Valentine's Day riot and the Victory Square riot and the other incidental riots that they had there. As far as I am aware, it was never the workers that started it. Now, it could have been a hot-headed worker that started a little fracas, and then, of course, it developed. I don't know about that. But it wasn't the policy of the unemployed to destroy any property in Vancouver, nor in Burnaby or anywhere else around here. So